All right, let's return to seats. All right. This is going to be an interesting, exciting, but I'm going to just be honest. We're going to get into some challenging things today. So just put on your big boys and girls play clothes and get ready for a bit of a challenge. There's sort of a phenomenon amongst mission communities when missionaries leave the United States or the West and they go to another country. There's an assimilation that sort of takes place when you come back to the environment that you're used to. And the definition of problems or, gee, life is hard, gets challenged because we're remarkably fortunate in the West. Now, not without our own battles and not without our own devils and darkness and things that have to be addressed, and not certainly no shortage of hurting people. But the expression of it that we find in other places is incredibly challenging if it's not something that you have been around or seen or perhaps in a while. But I have a couple of my favorite human beings here today. So in addition to y'all, whom I love, Ben Nichols is my pastor's son, and I have known him since he was just a little guy. My goodness. My wife walked by us today and said, "Oh, he's taller than you." I was like, he's been taller than me for a while. So anyway, and it's been great to meet Duda last year, and we spent some time together at a conference in Dallas, and we're just the same tribe somehow. Beautiful how God does that. Yeah. Amen. So we are going to hear from these gentlemen today. And who's leading off? All right. Why don't you give a warm Bryan College Station welcome to Ben Nichols with All People Free.
Thanks, Lord. Appreciate it. How are we doing this morning? It's always good to be here. Paul is family. Paul and Julie have been family for a long time. And as such, so have you. Obviously, many of you, I recognize your faces, know you well. But I do see some new people here, which is always fun. So I operate as a human rights activist and or missionary. That's kind of like my practical hat. And then it's also what I'm doing when I'm working in the Middle East and Asia. So I run an organization called All People Free, which this house, this church has been a part of supporting since the foundation about 8 years ago. We have been operating extremely quietly. We've been pretty much privately funded by about 20 individuals and or churches, including you, for the last 8 years, but we're going public. It's time for us to go public. It's time to get the word out about the work that we're doing. Largest form of human trafficking in the world is called bonded labor. There's approximately 30 million humans that are in modern day slavery. They take out a small debt and then they get entrapped into that debt. They have to work to pay it off. The people that entrap them will charge, above average interest, 20, 30% interest, but they're also preying on the weak, the vulnerable, and those that are in poverty. So they're preying on people that don't know how to evaluate what their work and income should be. So they'll extort and use that as a power over them, and then they'll use coercive language, abuse, all kinds of threats and actual actions and torture to assimilate and accumulate workers. And then what happens is over time, these workers become generational slaves. So I first heard about this 8 years ago. Just totally blindsided me. I was sitting in an audience kind of like this, and some dear friends of mine that I'd known for 20 years have been working as missionaries and running Bible schools in Pakistan specifically, and very successful ministry and doing an incredible work. I actually just attended their 15th year graduation and was able to give a one-year Bible certificate to the first family that I was a part of helping liberate out of the brick kiln. So that was incredibly powerful to a young lady that was 13 years old when I met her, working in a brick kiln as a slave, being sexually extorted, and we were able to relocate that family, help get them out, and now she's graduating from Bible school. I didn't even know she was going to be there. So I was attending the Bible school for my friends and attending the graduation for them while I was there. And all of a sudden I saw her in the audience. I was like, what's going on here? And so I went up and talked to her and her husband, and very special. So Dr. Harold and Linda Eberly, incredible people. They played this little 3-minute video 8 years ago, and I just started weeping, just started bawling. And God just really gripped my heart that this was, in fact, the thing that I was supposed to step toward and see what that next thing looked like. And the first moment that I showed up in a brick factory, of the 30 million humans that are in bonded labor, we believe somewhere around 20 million of them are hand-making clay bricks. 50 million in modern-day slavery globally, 20 million of them are hand-making clay bricks. They're in this system. So I went, I saw it, and it just shattered me completely. It was so much worse than I could have ever imagined. It wasn't poverty. This was slavery. There was torture. There was abuse. You saw little girls, acid had been thrown on them. A little boy, his arm had been broken. They hadn't been able to go to the hospital, so it was all infected. I mean, you see just weird things like polio, which don't exist in our culture. You see, you know, all kinds of deformities because of the lack of nutrition, lack of clean water. So I could go on and on and on and on and on. So since that moment, we've established an organization that has about 140 employees, and we've been at that number for almost two and a half years now. We have about 40 programs, and we serve about 3,000 people a day. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. So I'm going to play a 10-minute video in just a few minutes that's going to highlight and show some of the work and some of the things that are happening. And I have a great privilege of having my friend Duda Pintiado, who is an artist activist. He's globally known as an artist, but he's not just an artist. He looks for social causes that need a voice, that need imagery, that need something that can communicate to the culture. And he builds out just this incredible resource and reservoir of things, tools that communicate. And so he made this beautiful design. The Lord spoke to him one night. He woke up in the morning with this on his heart. And it's children's feet that are in chains no longer. And when we work together, we become the wind of freedom. It's a wind of freedom collection is what he's calling it. And we can bring those children to the moon, the sun, and the stars. So, I mean, it's really a great privilege to have him here. And I'm going to have him come up after the film, and we're going to kind of riff back and forth. But as much as I consider it a great privilege to speak on behalf of, the thousands of brick kiln workers that I know that don't have a voice, and when I stand in front of you, I'm definitely speaking on their behalf, I'm also a son of Texas. I was also raised in Austin, Texas by incredibly powerful and wonderful parents. And I was raised in a culture that was exposed to some of the strongest prophetic voices of the last 100 years. And something that the Lord awakened within me the beginning of last year was that I was supposed to turn back to the United States this year. And I was supposed to begin using my voice again. Because God's kind of shut this down in my heart and in my mind over the last. I've come to your community. I have a handful of family that I've been going to their churches. But God really spoke to me, Ben, it's time that you need to turn back to the United States and begin using your voice, begin sharing what I'm showing you around the world. So I want to give you a few little pieces of my worldview as somebody who has been in working in Muslim and Hindu countries for the last 8 years. I've been in those countries, just finished my fifth trip this year. I just got back on Sunday. So I spend a lot of time over there. Every 6 to 8 weeks, I'm on an airplane going overseas. Every week, I'm dealing with these countries. How many of you believe Habakkuk when he says, the earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea? Because I think that a lot of times in Christianity, we can get away from that and we can focus on all of the darkness that's happening. If you ask the Google, what is the largest religion in the world? The Google will quickly respond, Christianity is the largest religion in the world. Second to that, very closely, is Islam. By 2050, Islam will be right next to Christianity, and by 2080, it projects that Islam will overtake Christianity. I work in Muslim countries. What the Google doesn't know is that in Egypt right now, my Christian friends are, the United States, generous people in the United States, are paying my Christian friends to provide the education for over 250,000 Hamas children. So the Hamas leaders that have come from Gaza, they want to radicalize their children against the West. And yet it is Christians who are educating their children. I want that to sink in for a minute. What the Google doesn't know is when I was in Bangladesh in August, and I'm sitting in a quiet private room, I listened to the testimonies of 20 pastors that are converted directly from Islam in the last 15 years that have nothing but joy in their hearts about risking their lives to share the gospel and hold illegal churches in their homes. And their brothers and their sisters and their neighbors, they are giving their lives to Jesus right now. That's what the Google doesn't know. What the Google doesn't often reference is that our timeline was reshaped by what? Why are we in 2026? There's a BC and there's an AD. The Google fails to recognize that there is one symbol that stands as the most iconic symbol in all of history. Everywhere in the world you go, you will find this symbol. There's something else that Google doesn't remember. There's one book that has outsold every book by miles. What the Google doesn't consider is that there's between 26,000 and 35,000 people giving their lives to Jesus each and every day. Each and every day. And do you know what the difference is between that and the Islam rise or Hindu rise? Anybody? The rise in Christianity are people giving their hearts and lives to Jesus by choice. The numbers in Google are Islamic and Hindu births. They're measuring a birth rate. But there's being born into a system, and then there's being born again by choice. And what we're seeing right now in this country is a turning point. We saw the martyr, do you love who this person was? But we saw the martyr of somebody that our country recognized like the stoning of Stephen. And when that happened, whether or not you agree with the person, hate the person, and I have friends on both sides of the fence, because I travel the world and I have all kinds of friends. What I recognize is that our country did something that has not been done in probably 50 or 60 years, and they bent their knee to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The country did, as a whole. I'm not saying that there's not people that were really struggling with all of it, but guys, we just had a shift that happened. A change happened. A moment happened. Transition, it happens in a moment. Change happens in a moment, but the transition sometimes can take a minute to realize what just happened. It's already happened. Some of you intercessors have been praying for a moment like this in the last 30 years. You've been on your knees. You've been crying. You've been weeping for people to return back to Jesus. You've been weeping for a nation to actually return their hearts to the Jesus that you know and that you're in love with. And I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for fighting for my generation and for my kids, because I'm seeing it happen right now. And I believe that what we're about to walk into is not just a spiritual intercession. It's time for us to shift the intercession from something spiritual to something physical. Jesus, the great intercessor, he fed the poor. He talked about setting the captives free. And while he was absolutely doing it spiritually, and it translates in that way so easily for us, he actually set people free. he was not just talking about a spiritual bondage. He was saying, my kingdom leads to this kind of life where it's more radically forgiving. It's centered on others. And this is exactly what we're doing through All People Free, because we're acting as physical intercessors. We're advocating for those literally bonded in slavery. Promotion of the kingdom, it's not just about a vacation. Sometimes it looks like increased responsibility. I go to some of the worst countries in the world by American standards. Very, very difficult countries. There was a riot because the government had, when I was in Bangladesh, because the government had been overthrown by freedom fighters. Long story, I'm not going to tell the whole story. I had to hike a mile and a half. Not safe. Not safe for me. I had to hike a mile and a half down the highway. Most Americans would just like they would be like, what? I'm not going there ever. Like this, it's not always, but guess what? This is the Kingdom Commission. This is my part. I'm not saying that's what you need to do, but I'm saying there's partnership that has to take place where we have to know who we are in Christ, and there is a sacrifice, and the sacrifice is not always sitting on a beach in Hawaii. And that's not where the fulfillment comes either. It's not always a bigger house. It's not always a country club membership. Sometimes it looks like sitting in coach in the middle seat, flying halfway around the world on limited sleep, and then serving the people and being honoring to them when they don't treat you very well. When you get death stares and you have people that are threatening your life because they don't like your culture or they don't like your president. Are y'all awake out there? All right. So All People Free, we're a grassroots movement. We've been working on the ground. Last year, 93% of our funds went to 40 programs. I've invested a heck of a lot of money into this thing. I've invested my life into this. So it's not just about paying my mortgage. That's not what the issue is. This is about helping people in need. And we're doing a really good job at managing the money. We've got some great programs. We've got some great leaders. And, I'm excited about this film. Some of you have seen this 10-minute version. We're playing here again. What you haven't seen is that we've got a 55-minute version. We've already won 4 film festival awards. I heard Issa say 5. I don't know if we've won a fifth or not. But we've won 4 film festival awards. And we have 31 film festivals that we're in, so it's none of this is public yet. It's all private. So I'd like you to join me in looking at the screen and seeing this incredible prophetic imagery that Duda has put together for us.
Words when I stepped onto that.
I was like, I'm breathing the air, same air as he is.
Just a whole swath of the 20 million slaves are in a condition where they're building bricks.
Cannot allow their voices to remain silent any longer. A year after my daughter was born, there was a young girl named Malala. And she was standing up for the rights of women to receive an education in Pakistan. As a result of her tenacious and boldness, the Taliban saw her as a threat and they attempted to kill her. When I think about my daughter, and I would look at her, and I would think about Malala, it was too much for me. I couldn't fathom that my daughter wouldn't be able to go to school safely, or that she wouldn't be able to have a dream of being a lawyer or doctor or whatever she wanted to be. And yet here was this girl, Malala, almost giving her life just to stand up and say, hey, I want to go to school.
I have rights. I have the right of education. I have the right to play. I have the right to sing, I have the right to talk, I have the right to go to market, I have the right to speak up.
Root cause to human trafficking is poverty. And poverty exists, it doesn't matter where it is in the world, poverty exists because of the lack of education and opportunity.
Poverty is not simply about money. And that's the message from the United Nations, which has released a new report looking at global poverty rates. Using factors like health, education, and standard of living rather than income, the UN has shown an enormous disparity between rich and poor.
New figures show 1.3 billion people are what the UN calls multidimensionally poor. Of the five Asian countries the UN highlighted, Bangladesh had the highest poverty rate of 42%, followed by Pakistan with 38%, Cambodia 37%, India 28%, and Vietnam dramatically less, with just 5% of the population considered poor.
The evilness, the unfairness, the injustice of the economic bondage of people in slavery, with sexual slavery being the worst of it all. And I think it is because it's the time in history to end this.
Slavery used to look like this, then it evolved into this, and today it looks like this. In fact, there are an estimated 45.8 million people living in modern slavery across 167 different countries. Children held in the commercial sex trade, adults held in the commercial sex trade, and any other laborer made to work through force, fraud, or coercion. The trafficking victim often looks like anybody else at work, in a mine, on a farm, in a factory. Many are lured by promises of a steady job in another country, only to have their passports confiscated when they arrive. However, many slaves work in their native countries, or even the cities where they were born.
So we fight for everything. Child abuse, malnutrition, bad working condition, bad living condition. These are the issues we face. Because he has no power, he has nothing in his hand, he has no money, he has no influence. Nobody listens to him. He's a very common man.
How do we reignite the sensitivity of pain to say that, oh no, that if my brother is suffering or my sister is suffering, that is something that I need to partner in. It's the next generation. The next generation are tenacious. They're hungry. They're not happy with the way things are going, the despondency and the apathy. And so they want something. Give me something that I could just hold on to. Give me something that I could fight for.
For the world, she's known as a modern day Harriet Tubman. She is just a bhaji who can help them escape the brutalities of the big game.
I have been fighting 35 years for freeing pregnant workers.
We should observe what we have committed with the international community, because GSP Plus is not still implemented in our country. And that also a big root cause of slavery.
Prominent Kashmiri activist Jameel Maqsood has urged the European Commission to review GSP Plus, the generalized scheme of preferences status for Pakistan in the wake of ongoing human rights violations in the country. The new GSP scheme is currently being debated in the European Union Parliament as it intends to add more conventions, mainly focusing on human rights, and Pakistan is lobbying to relax conditions which provides preferential treatment for exporting countries.
So international also community can also play a very pivotal role, make a big dent for the eradication of modern labor.
I had no idea the magnitude on how an estimated 50 million people are trapped in modern slavery. And 40% of them, that's 20 million people, are trapped in brick homes, making bricks. This is an issue that stretches across Northern Africa, the Middle East, Asia.
The number of people falling victim to modern slavery is estimated to have risen significantly in recent years. Now, that's according to the 2023 Global Slavery Index, which just revealed its latest set of worrying figures. Around 50 million people were reportedly living in situations of modern slavery in any given day in 2021. That's an increase of about 10 million people since 2016.
And I saw the suffering. I saw women. I saw children. They're in slavery for generations.
wanted to know. I said, tell me about it. He said, my grandfather was born in the brickyard. My father was born and mother were born in the brickyard. And I was born in the brickyard.
Your contribution can be so small, but it can go such a long way. And it might not get them out of the situation right away, but at least it's a starting point to help and bringing them meals, like I said, and giving them education, being liberated.
What we're dealing with is generational slavery. I want to see the world rally behind this cause and stand up for the rights of all these young children that are not able to receive an education because they're being forced into this horrific working condition. I want to see all that come to an end, and we can bring resources and programs and aid and education and industry in a way that's going to actually make a pathway to get these people from a life of slavery into a life of freedom. All People Free is about seeing all people come free.
Would you welcome my friend Duda Pintiato to the stage? How's everybody doing? You okay? Well, we had some fun conversations yesterday that I'm hoping we can relive a little bit this morning. I was thinking about it, and this film for me is not just a film; it's a prophetic mirror of the turning point that we're in right now as a country, because it shows light piercing into darkness. It shows intercession turning to action. It's not just about praying. These people need real help. It's about making that transition to actually putting some physical hands and feet and the body of Christ stepping into chaos with love. We are living in an unprecedented point, I believe, around the world. There's a reawakening happening, and we both travel quite a bit. He's Brazilian, lives in New Jersey. And you and I were discussing yesterday how we believe people, not just Christians, but people. There's like a genuine hunger and thirst for authentic things of character, things of substance. Like, people just don't want to go along with something because it looks right on the outside anymore. You know, our younger generation, the people even younger than me, you know, they want, like Paul and I were talking about Hannah, she's buying these recycled older clothes because they have better quality to them. Like, people want quality. They're wanting something different in life. You and I were talking about that. Tell me a little bit, why did you choose to do this project, and what are you seeing, and how does this project fit into what you're seeing around the world and what God's doing?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're on.
Well, I think God calls us to be involved with the impossible. So for me, it's been a process. You know, I met you through your father, his father's friends with my pastor. So it's a long story coming for 2.5 years. So I met the father, Ben's father and mama, so cool. And then I meet Ben, and we have Issa, who's in the film, who is my partner. He's like, he decided, because he's from Jordan, and for him, he hit home right away. So he goes travel with Ben a year before than me. Now he comes back on fire, said, Duda, I've been telling Ben that he needs to work with you. So I'm like, well, I don't know. What is this really about? So for me, it was several things. I need to understand what was the cause about, right? And the reality is, there's very little information organized in the way that we understand what modern day slavery is. People understand bits and pieces, like, oh, maybe fast fashion, maybe this, maybe that. But very little information organized in a sense to let it know that this is a big thing that happened. Even more. I mean, this movie doesn't address that. The other one will address that. How much it costs a slave today is $20. And children, slaves were very expensive. I'm not talking right or wrong. I'm just saying the availability to buy a slave today is very easy. And it's happened in scales much higher than ever seen before. So I needed to understand if there's something I could contribute was the first thing. Once I put my mind on the issue, I'm like, oh my God, we need to talk about this. The second thing was, what is Ben was doing? So Ben was really bringing solutions, just not just awareness. So I'm like, we're gonna do this. So I pray about it, God put in my heart, and then we start the journey. I'll say this, the warfare started. And I think God calls us to step in impossible. Can talk a little bit about that. Right before I went to the first ship I needed to go, I threw up 6 times and I was in bed for 2 days. And I turned to my wife and said, I must go on this trip. God needs me in this trip. And just to start with this, so I'm just gonna say this. We're talking a little bit about Matthew 14:22, mm-hmm. The story of Jesus and the boat and the disciples, right? So that's the part we all love, right? We all love to be in Jesus' boat, right? Why we love? Because he's our daddy. Once we get saved and we understand who Jesus is, we all want to be in Jesus' boat. Yeah. Right? Right or wrong? Raise your right, right? You want to be in Jesus' boat? Yes or no? If you don't, you have a different problem. But okay, I'm going to assume we all love to be in his boat. So when we are in his boat, the part that happens, Jesus says, guys, go in the boat and go ahead of me, right? As Jesus speaking, you're just like, okay, don't worry, we're going. What they didn't expect was the storms. And the craziness that started happening around then. And they're like, hey, wait a minute, this is getting crazy here. And where is really Jesus? He's there, he's not even here, you know? So the boat is rocking. And then Jesus showed up. And then we know what happens, right? Peter is the only one. Jesus, man, are you there? I recognize you. I'm on this. Can I step out? And he's like, come, come. What I believe it happened there, Jesus wanted all the disciples to step out in the miracle zone. Hmm. The only one who had the guts at that time was really Peter. But then what happened with Peter? Once he started walking the miracle, he just put his attention into something else and fear, and then he sinks. And I think here's a big part of the revelation. When you step in the miracle zone, the question for us is, going back to what Ben is saying, I think, Ben, why I join you, the answer is simple. You step in the miracle zone, and I want to be in a situation that I in the miracle zone. If I don't put myself in the miracle zone, I would never know some aspects of Jesus in my life. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you out there, well, he's Peter, I'm Duda, I'm going with Peter now. I'm going to step there, out there, you know? And I did. And what happens is, it's not that we don't go through fear. It's not that we struggle. We do, but every time we do what Jesus do, pick you up. Mm-hmm. It picks you up. So I think the question, the shift that we have, I think, I'll close with this. The U.S. has given more money to missions than every other country. We can't forget about that. Why does God come around and bless us? Because we've been God's business some way, somehow. Right? So I think it's time for the Church of Christ waking in the U.S. like never seen before. But just remember this. Jesus, everybody in Jesus' boat is expecting you to make a move to want to step in the miracle zone. Well, we know the story. The disciples always step out of the boat in different situations later on in life. But the only one who did that at that moment was Peter. So I think, Ben, you're right about that. Why I'm with you is simple. We step out of the boat. And it's crazy to see what we saw out there. The film tried to do justice. The longer film tried to do justice. While we seen the amount of pain and suffering that I seen it, I came back to the U.S. and I was messed up for a month. I look people, you have no problem. People talk about, you have no problem. Let me take you on a plane to Pakistan. You're never going to talk like that anymore. Yeah. It took me a month to readjust about my reality. Yeah. And I'm like, we just got to step out. And if we don't do that, we'll never know. I think God is ready to do so many more miracles. Then Ben was sharing those things that Google, they don't know. So if we do this collectively, we see a bigger change on earth. And that's what I joined this, and that's why I'm in this business. Because, you know what, making art is not enough for me. But making art and God can allow me to change lives is the business I want to be in. And I need to take risks to do that.
That's awesome. I love that. I think one of the things that God's doing in the earth right now is there's a collective. It's not just about one person that is responding right now. There's a lot. There's a movement, a massive wave of people that are responding. You said something kind of humorous yesterday, but I want to see if you can remember what you told me about the gorilla. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that one. Go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, when I came back from that trip, I recognize, and you know, words are very powerful, right? So I tell people, listen, in life, you're going to deal with skinny demons, you're going to deal with fat demons. The skinny demons are hanging around a little bit. The fat demons are the ones that are generational. So the thing I want you guys to understand what we're up against is when the stronghold is so deep, and it's changing how an entire culture is behaving, you're dealing with real fat demons. And I'm going to give an example. We there traveling those middle countries, all of them thinks it's okay for their daughters to marry 11, 12, 13 years old, across the board. And I'm like, this is shocking. Yeah. I wish we were talking about this kind of abuse in the brick homes, but no, it's all over the culture. So now you're dealing with a fat demon. Those fat demons, they sitting there for generations to the point they twisting the entire mind of a culture. So I was like, my God, this is serious business here. You know, what happens is we know modern day slavery happens in many ways. But people sort of on the new road, when they doing that stuff, they kind of know they doing something wrong. Over there, when it's okay, you're in a completely different mindset.
We're getting to the end of our time, and I really wanted to provide an opportunity for those of you that want some kind of impartation from what it is that God has put on our lives. And I'm gonna say this with a short intro. There's one person, a guy named Kim Clement, that I was raised around as a young man, and my parents helped bring him into the country. Most of you aren't gonna have any idea who that is. He was a South African pianist, classical pianist, looked like Mel Gibson in Braveheart, had long hair, he's passed away. But he used to get up on the stage and he'd play his music and he would rap. And he would have words of knowledge where he would read social security numbers. Literally, he would have social security numbers. He would have birthdays. He would have all this kind of stuff just drop in his spirit. And he would just say it out loud. And it was uncanny. It was like he went on Larry King Live and, you know, did a standoff with a modern day, you know, tarot card reader and all this kind of stuff. He's just a wild guy, very influential. He impacted us both so significantly. He used to have a saying that he would say, tomorrow about this time, things are going to change. I believe that things have changed. I believe that we are living and walking out the prophetic words that he was speaking 30 and 40 years ago. And I believe very much the impartation, the effect that he had on my life and Duda's life led us out of the church for 8 years. Not out. We've all been connected to churches. I don't mean like that. But he's been very much, he's an artist around the world. He's not a Christian artist. He's an artist. I've been doing human rights activism. I'm a pastor, but I've been doing human rights activism with Muslim and Hindu people and people of every sort. I believe that we are walking back into the church because God is calling us to bring something back into the church. And I know that your hearts and your minds were affected this morning. I just sense it in my spirit. And I want to invite those of you that want us, you would like us to lay hands on you. I really feel like that's something that needs to happen this morning for some of you. I'm not saying it's for every one of you. So I'm just going to ask you to stand to your feet for a moment. And Lord, I thank you so much that you've brought us, Duda and I, here into this place. I thank you that Paul and Julie have been so gracious and kind to allow us to come and minister here at Life Church. And Lord, I thank you that you have taken Duda and I on a journey and that you have led us to this point and that there is something that you're wanting to release here in Life Church this morning, that you're wanting to call people out of their boat. You're wanting to call them out of a comfort zone and challenge them to live like they've never lived before. So right now, I want to invite anybody in this room that wants to respond to this, that if you want you're saying, hey, I am hungry. I do want to step out of the boat. And maybe you're already out of the boat and you're saying, hey, listen, I just don't want to be alone. I want to join my brothers and my sisters that are stepping out in faith. I just want to invite you to come to the front of the room this morning. And I'm just going to stand here with you and we want to lay hands on you, any of you that want that. And I'm going to trust and believe that God wants to activate something inside of your heart and inside of your mind. So come right now if you feel like that's you. Doesn't matter if there's nobody, but if there's 10, 20, 30, I just want to invite you. I want to make room for God to do what he wants to do this morning. So we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that you've called us into new places. We thank you that you've called us into new spaces, that you're challenging us to live and move and have our being in you like never before, that you don't want us to succumb to the fear that is being thrown around us, but that you want us to stand in faith and trust and love. And so we just ask for a release right now of your love all over this place, in this room, and hearts and minds. Father, we thank you so much for what it is that you're doing. Thank you so much for what it is that you're doing.
While they're praying for them, I was stirred as Ben was speaking. There may be some people here that have an artistic expression. Something, I know, maybe you're a musician, a writer, draw. And I just sense the Lord is encouraging you, encouraging people, that the Lord wants to awaken that to be an expression of His kingdom. And so if you're someone who you have an artistic expression, you have something in there, and the Lord's stirring you, hey, Lord, I have this, and I don't know what to do with this. But God, I want to honor you with it. I want to honor you with this gift you've given me. I want to encourage you, come on up, get prayer, and ask for the Lord to release His power and His authority in your art that He's given you. I talk a lot about when we do the offering. We give because our ability to work and make money comes from Him. The artistic expression comes from Him. It's a gift from Him, and we can choose to honor the Lord with our art, just like we honor the Lord the first fruits of our labor. So I just want to invite you as well, if this is something else that you want to do, I ask you to come up. We can pray for you for that as well.
We're going to keep ministering to these folks. Let's go ahead and stand, and we're going to draw the service to a close. Ask as you're leaving, be sensitive. You certainly can stay and talk and fellowship. Just be sensitive to what's going on up here. And I think we'll have a few more coming up for prayer, but you can find out more about All People Free on their website, allpeoplefree.com. One of the things that, as a pastor, has been a blessing, not just in my own work experience, but as a church, to be personally connected to the mission groups that we're connected to. You know, frequently churches, we have missions organizations or funds, and you're not personally connected. These are high quality people. Our people in Peru are high quality people. This is how a local church connects abroad. It's through things like this. So keep them in your prayers, support them, find out more about them. Have a great Sunday. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great Sunday. We'll see you again soon.